Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Stuttgart, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live from Stuttgart as the Scotland team arrives for tomorrow's Euros showdown. It's match day minus one for Stevie Clark's side as they add the finishing touches ahead of a must-win game against Hungary. Kieran Tierney appears to be the only absentee, so what does that mean for team selection? The manager will give his final thoughts later tonight, and then it is showtime tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, as always, is Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, big 24 hours ahead. There's a Tartan army descend on Stuttgart, and Steve Clark will be putting his final preparations in place for what is one of the biggest games in Scotland's history just round the corner. Can we make history and go to the last 16? I believe we can. A lot of optimism around the city. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're sitting right next to the stadium as we speak, Gordon. The weather's not great. It's quite quiet, but it will not be like that tomorrow come 8 o'clock. The Tartan army will be here in full force. The atmosphere will be terrific, and it's up to the Scotland boys to go and get a result for us.
Yeah, Steve Clark will arrive here in a couple of hours' time. He'll address the media for the final time, a final squad update, final thoughts, although he does tend to keep them quite brief on what he's expecting tomorrow and how he is going to go about things. So the Scotland team heading here right now, they shouldn't be too far away. We are in the shadow of the Stuttgart Arena, looking forward to the game tomorrow. As Gordon Dalziel says, the noise levels will rise significantly between now and then. I know it seems a bit strange, a Saturday afternoon, but we're still here, so give us a call on 01419511025. We're missing you. I keep saying it every night. Every day that goes past, we miss you more, so why not give us a call? Let us know how you're feeling from back home, whether you're confident and optimistic like the guys are. Maybe you're fearing the worst and it's the negative thoughts that are creeping in. That's absolutely fine. You can share them as well. If you've got any suggestions on how the team should look or set up or who should play and who shouldn't, now is the final chance, really, to get those thoughts across. By the time we come on air tomorrow, we'll have the team news. We'll be fully focused on the match that's about to kick off. So really, your final chance to get your pre-match thoughts in on 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. An inspired decision from us, because we were supposed to be live from the fan zone here in Stuttgart this afternoon. We took one look at the weather forecast, decided against it. We're back indoors at Palm Beach, next door to the hotel, next to the stadium, sorry, and looking out that window. What a success, because Hugh Keevans would have had to come in to Clydebank and do the show on his own. We would have got rained off, electrocuted, and who knows what else.
Well, a great decision, because it is battering down. It has been for the last couple of hours. We checked the weather. It said it was going to rain, but it was sunny when we left, so it was a last-minute decision. We got a look at the fan zone last night. It was fantastic in the main square. A real mix, though. Different from Munich and Cologne, where it was, you know, a heavy Scottish influence. It was a mix last night. And I think those arriving today will be disappointed because it's a wet one. But tomorrow, hopefully it's dry and the square will be packed.
What I love about this guy is just the way he can just go into professional mode and talk about the things that really matter. Because since we've been in the fan zone last night, off air, he's not stopped complaining about the price of the pints.
Oh, by the way.
But he's decided to put that to one side.
Yeah. I don't know why he brought it up.
Just talk more seriously about
three pints, right?
€30. I've only heard that about 500 times.
He was outraged.
He was a wee bit later than me last night, and he came in, threw his cell in the bed and went, £3, €30.
I thought the public back home need to know that.
Yeah, crucial detail, yeah. I'm sure. 01419511025 if you want to join in. I mean, you can discuss the price of a pint if you so wish. I'd like to think we can talk football. And as I've been saying throughout these group stages, it's great to hear from you from home as always, but it's a great opportunity for us to catch up with some Scotland fans who are out here as well. Stuart is from Perth and he joins us now. How's it going, Stuart?
Thank you, very well.
How's the trip been so far?
It's been exhausting, but it's been it's been brilliant. No, German fans have been absolutely brilliant. German people, totally supportive of what we're doing over here, and thoroughly enjoying ourselves.
I'm always conscious that there's a temptation to like overstate the good bits and make out as if it's been better than it has, or make out that everyone's got on better than they actually have, but genuinely it has been a bit like that, hasn't it?
We've found no issue. You know, right from day one, it's been, folk have been very helpful, you know, in the streets. It's just been tremendous, like, you know.
The thing, it's what actually sums up the amount of fans that have come over here is I'm not actually sure if it's like the obvious Perth that Stuart's come from or if it's the Australian one, because there is a guy in our hotel, I think, who's got Perth Supporters Club or something, and I assumed it was up the road and he's from Australia, but you're closer to home, yes?
It's the obvious one, yeah.
That's fine. I won't hold that against you, I was just checking. What's your kind of plan been? Have you just arrived in Cologne? Were you at the other games?
We arrived on the 11th. We're in Munich, which obviously was a bit of disappointment, but hey ho, we soon got over it. Travelled to Cologne and we came down yesterday from Cologne down to Stuttgart. Travel's been amazing. Everywhere I went, it's just such a buzz about the place, like, you know.
I suppose that's tournament football. Like, it's very, you only get three games, so things can change dramatically, even with a draw on the night of the Germany game. I mean, were you fearing the worst? Did you think we could be well out of it by the time this game even came around?
I still think we'd a chance, like, you know, and we always seem to do fairly well in the second game, yep. So there was a bit of optimism going into that one. And the place, you know, in Cologne, it was just absolutely crazy. The noise, the passion for the supporters and all the rest, it was just absolutely brilliant, like, so. And a draw keeps us in it, so it's all we play for tomorrow.
What was the feeling like ahead of tomorrow then? It's, you know, it's sometimes a strange couple of days in between. It goes a bit quiet, you know, the football, you know, goes on the back burner, everyone focuses on the party. But, I mean, we're nearly there. Like I say, Steve Clarke will arrive at this stadium behind us in a couple of hours' time. Tomorrow will have a very different feel. Are you confident they can get the job done?
I am now, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's days in between the games are very difficult because you try to bring in a bit of culture, yeah, and stay off the beer and all the rest of it, like, you know. But I think going about the place on the train, everybody's pretty confident that we'll get the job done and qualify for the first time, obviously.
I think the way to look at it, Mark, is probably that you have to acknowledge Hungary are good, and they're certainly ranked above us, and they had a very good qualification campaign. But that cliche that we often use when we talk about even club football, had you been offered the chance of one game to beat Hungary, to go through, you probably take it, because yes, they're good, yes, they're ranked higher than us, but they wouldn't be in that sort of elite bracket. And when you get to these tournaments, you're going to have to be a decent side at some point. So yeah, this is a good opportunity.
Well, that's the next level for us. You know, I've said it before, we had our big wins in the qualification stage, we've got to the Euros, now we need a real statement win. And you're right in saying, if you had to take a pick, Hungary would be it, and especially off the back of two defeats. So psychologically, how are they dealing with that in their camp? Of course, they can still qualify themselves, but I'd rather be playing a team who have just come off the back of two defeats, even though they were decent at times against Germany. I'd rather be playing them than the Germans or the Swiss in this last game.
I wonder how that will impact the football match, Gordon, because not only, probably, I'm giving up trying to figure out all the permutations right now, but not only would Hungary, from their perspective, have to beat us, they probably have to beat us well.
Yeah.
They're probably going to really, really have to come out and go for it. Does that worry you at all? Is there a way that our team can set up that might suit,
yeah,
us?
Listen, Steve Clarke will have probably done his homework in that as well. He'll know the situation, Gordon. It may actually suit us in the fact that they'll commit men forward, and hopefully we've got the players. And you seen it the other night when they scored the goal, it was in our own half, our own box, and the passion, the desire to get up, and Scott McTominay gets a goal. I totally agree with Mark. If you look at this group going into the last one where I must win, I would have taken Hungary. I watched them briefly against Germany, and at times they looked a very good outfit, but I think we've got enough in the locker.
Stuart, have you been to major tournaments before as a Scotland fan?
I was in Italy in 1990. Brilliant. So and again, that was, you know, a bunch of mates just across here for a fortnight again, and absolutely superb. Back then, you know, I've got my two sons with me this time, and we grew up just qualifying year after year, yeah, after year for these big tournaments, like, you know. So it's just absolutely amazing. But I echo what Gordon and that says, like, you know, I think tomorrow's a massive, massive game, and we keep saying it, you know, but we will get there one time, like, you know.
That's the thing, I keep saying it, when there only are three games, you know, Mark, that this either is a game that makes history for all the right reasons, or a game that can, you know, one slip, one mistake, one bad error of judgment bring a whole world of negativity down on the team and on Steve Clark. You know, it's when there only are three games and the way the format of the tournament is at the moment, it's absolutely massive because the two extremes are they're miles apart.
Well, the stakes are so high and the players will be well aware. The players will be well aware of what's went before them and the greats that have pulled on the Scotland jersey who have never qualified for the last 16 in any tournament, and they're right on the cusp of it. 90 minutes away, we're a real realistic chance, but it's not like we're playing Croatia again, who were just coming off the back of a World Cup final. We're playing a team that I believe we can beat, and the players will be aware of that.
Something nice about that, Stuart, the fact you've got these experiences, you thought we were going to have them forever, they dried up, but now you can bring your sons out and show them what it's all about.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, they're 25 and 28 now, and I was around about the age of a 4 year old. We says, "Look, I'll take you to the next time we qualify for a major tournament."
Saying that every 2 years,
and you're not expecting to be 20 odd years later, like, you know. So no, we're here. And we're all for it now.
What an error. It would have been much cheaper when they were kids. He's got this. He's got this all wrong.
Tell me.
Struggling. Stuart, we appreciate your time and hopefully you enjoy your night tomorrow. Thank you very much.
No. Thanks very much, guys. Okay.
That's Stuart from Perth kicking us off tonight. And don't forget, we do want to hear from you on the phone as well on 01419511025. That's the number you need. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB and hopefully we'll find some more Scotland fans here as well. The Boffins back at Clyde One HQ, ably assisted by Gabriel, a reporter who's on his way back from the Scotland camp to here. And this is the bit that's just, I don't even want to think about it because the frustration of it all, that there still is a scenario that we could go through with 2 points.
Really?
And so you would kind of want Georgia and Czech Republic that we're watching just now, you would want them to draw this game, apparently.
Okay.
So... good luck figuring it all out.
Well,
because
there's so much going on. I would rather we just take care of our own
exactly.
business, and then where is Gabriel anyway? It's like the guy you're losing a stag to, and then
you know
he turns up.
Everybody's
he's been
missing
away
Gabriel.
For days.
He's the most famous guy in Scotland.
I think he is in the train on the way back here from the Scotland camp. Who knows what he's been up to?
We'll look forward to seeing him.
He does just strike you as the type of guy. He's great in a group and company, but I think he's the type of guy that needs his alone time on these trips. Yeah. I think he enjoys his alone time, and then he comes
very
back.
Much so.
He comes back refreshed.
I bet he does.
And good to go.
Later on his feet.
15 minutes gone. It's Georgia 0, Czech Republic 0. Yes, on paper, not the most glamorous, I hear you say. Two teams that we sort of, you know, have experienced recently, though, I did not appreciate as we were getting ready for the show, looking up and seeing reruns of Patrick Sheik lobbing David Marshall from 40 yards.
By the way, you forget how good a goal that was. It was rerun after rerun, and, you know, David Marshall got so much stick for that goal. But see, when you see him, he was off his line, but the guy scored from the halfway line. Incredible.
And in front of like a half-empty COVID-hit Hamden, everything about it, just pretty grim. And I have to say, Mark, I think the Georgians have turned up a bit better at the tournament. I mean, fair enough, they did draw against us over there. And yes, it was the rain was horrendous the night they came to Hamden, but we looked a good bit better than them over the qualification campaign, but they've done okay.
Yeah, they've got good players, standout players. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the boy's name on the left wing.
The boy from Napoli.
That's him, yeah, he's very good. But, look, I think it's like all teams. I don't think there's been many disappointments in this tournament. We watched France-Netherlands.
We looked like being one.
Well, we certainly did, but we recovered that pretty quickly. And let's hope we can go one better tomorrow. But the standard in this tournament has been, you know, right up there. Some terrific goals, terrific performances. Let's hope we can top it tomorrow.
It has. I totally agree. We've watched a lot of football. Even 0-0 draws. You look at last night.
Expensive France pints, though, when we watched that one.
30 April for three, just in case MD didn't miss. Everybody missed that. But you look at the standard.
You get
you
a euro back for your glass.
No, we didn't. Big Will took it. But I just think the standard, the excitement, the football, the goals, everything. This has been a terrific tournament, and hopefully we can continue in it after tomorrow night.
Don't forget, we are taking your calls. I know it all feels a bit strange because we're live in Germany. It is a Saturday afternoon as well, of course, or so someone tells me, but it's 01419511025 if you want to get in touch from home. Like I say, this is really your last chance to have your say on what the team should look like, as an example, because we're going to come on air an hour before kickoff tomorrow. By that time, we should have the news from inside the stadium. Andrew McLean will be able to probably just shout it through the window. We're that close to the stadium. So your last chance, really, to get your suggestions in. I enjoyed the debate last night because you would assume, given what happened against Switzerland, that Scott McKenna just replaces Kieran Tierney. But does that maybe suggest a switch to a back four, and then it's Ryan Christie that comes in. That was one suggestion that came up on the phone. It seemed to split opinion amongst the pundits. John Carver did allude to the fact that it is a possibility. So as much as we've stuck very rigidly at times to this back three, back five system, maybe, just maybe, tomorrow is a time to switch that up. But you decide. You can let us know how you feel on it on the usual number and on Twitter as well. I wonder how the players are feeling now, Mark. This will be at that stage where they've probably had the rest, so that, you know, they've recovered, and now they'll just be chomping at the bit. You would imagine they're going to get a bus, I believe, from, well, they'll probably be on it now or about to get on it, Garmisch-Partenkirchen, where they're based. They're going to get the bus here, and they'll just be desperate, won't they?
Well, I think it can only be comparable to a cup final, you know, and there's so many players in that squad who've played in cup finals, Scottish Cup finals, FA Cup finals, or Champions League finals. And this one is right up there with the biggest that they would have played in, because, you know, there's the expectation of a country back home. But again, with social media nowadays, those players will be sitting on the bus, following all the stories. Maybe some are even listening to us, you never know, and hearing the stories from you know, the guy we had on there from Perth, you know, and everybody that's travelled here. So they know the weight of expectation on them, and that brings about an added pressure. But they dealt with it the other night, because it was severely on them the other night, because this might have been a dead rubber we're facing tomorrow. They delivered, and let's hope they can do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, all the work's done. Steve Clark will have prepared the players. It's just a case of getting them down here now, relaxing them. It'll be a little bit of a long day tomorrow, so they've just got to calm everything down, get into their usual routine. They'll probably go out a walk in their hotel as well. Just, and they'll soak in the atmosphere, Gordon, then come to the stadium, the national anthem. Then after that, it's up to them to go and perform.
That's been the great thing about this Euros, a learning experience for everyone. He's clearly just learned that teams go a walk before the game.
I can't
he's big
that.
On that now.
Yeah. Remember
the day that we met him just lurking? Who was there? We just met him lurking randomly by the Scotland team hotel. It was so weird, right? Because there was like barriers up, and there was a restaurant or something in the team bus, and just a little kind of gap, a little lane down the side. And we just spotted him just on his own, just lurking.
You never know
by
what
the
this
team
guy's up to.
Yeah, we used to go a walk in club football, but the Scotland players walk out their hotel. It's just the tartan. Scottish fans absolutely everywhere, so they must have just a wee quiet place round the back of the hotel. They go for a walk.
That's what you were looking for, round the back of the hotel, next to the bins.
I peeped out the bandy.
Anyway, on that note, 01419511025 from home. So come on, give us a call. How are you feeling? How are the pre-match nerves ahead of tomorrow? What should the team look like, whether it's personnel or formation? If you give us a call now, we'll try and get you on next.
Live from Germany with UK debt experts. The national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live in Germany, as we have been right throughout the group stages, all thanks to UK Debt Expert. We're broadcasting from the Palm Beach Club in Stuttgart, a lovely venue if you happen to be in the area. And again, it is all thanks to UK Debt Expert. And the time it takes Scotland to play a game, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. So their debt-free advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. If you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you, and you can check it out at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL joining me as always. We're watching Georgia Czech Republic. We told you that in a roundabout way a draw would probably be best for Scotland's chances of progressing as a third place team. Georgia thought they'd fallen behind Czech Republic. We thought it scored, but a hand, the use of the hand, was it, Mark Wilson?
Yes.
VAR had something to say about it.
Yep, we didn't see it first of all, but when it was played back, certainly put it in his arm. So still sitting 0-0, suits us.
There we go, we'll take that. Anyway, it's 01419511025 on the phones as always if you want to join in. But you'll have noticed by now there are loads of Scotland fans round about that we get involved in our discussion as well. We've got Craig or Wingy, if you want to use his nickname. That's whatever. Craig,
where you
or
Wingy.
Wingy.
Wingy. You go Wingy, yeah.
Well, knows me as Wingy.
I used to stay next to Wingy.
I heard him say that, yeah. So yeah. you
He's a good mother, old boy.
Former neighbours.
Oh, thank you, Wingy.
Imagine being his neighbour. Yeah. The sights you must have seen.
Honestly.
I says to him, just tell everybody you're a winger. No, I played left back.
Wingy from Bigger, right, or Craig, whatever you want to call him, he's here for the full group stages.
He will do two games. We came Tuesday morning.
Brilliant.
Or Cologne and then Stuttgart and home Monday, so I'll be a divorce next week if I have to come back out.
Well, you're sitting next to the right man for that type of decision.
I'll talk
to
you
say.
Through it, Wingy.
He's got a good lawyer he can put you in touch with. You said you're a Motherwell fan as well. You're a local to where Gordon Dale used to live. I've thought about this myself throughout this tournament. I wonder if supporting a team like Motherwell kind of prepares you for these types of things where you never quite know how bad it can get, and then you might get a wee upturn and then you get full of optimism. A little bit of parallels there.
You prepare for the worst and then anything else a bonus.
I'm starting to notice that a little bit. I think that's the way a lot of people feel.
Being a Motherwell supporter, you just go and enjoy the game.
But
just
tomorrow, it's more than that, isn't it? How much are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm excited. I've been excited since December. Then when we got our tickets, just every night's like Christmas. I just want to get here and get involved, and this week's been tremendous. It's super.
That's been a good point, actually. You qualified so early, so that was exciting at the time, but then it kind of had to go on the back burner. And then it's like so much changes in that time, because players who would have been in the squad get injured and players come in and out of form, and you know, now that it's eventually here, you want to try and make the most of it.
Well, there was so much build up, wasn't there? And I mean, it seemed like we spent months talking about who was going to make the squad, and then even when the squad was announced and the friendlies were played and people were dropping out, it seemed like the tournament was just never going to come around. And it really does seem like we have been out here for a long time. That's the beauty of tournament football. You come for, you know, 2 weeks at a time, and the fans just love it. It's like an all-inclusive holiday for some of them.
It's superb. Last night we went out for a quiet drink. We just went to the pub next to the hotel, and within an hour everybody's doing the conga, and it was just tremendous. It was great. That was a quiet night, yeah.
I do wonder about people who just randomly booked a romantic weekend in Stuttgart or something. You know, booked it a year ago. Yeah. We were in a bar last night, and it was mostly Scotland fans, but there was just no random couples and whatever about, and they just started playing like Jerry Cinnamon and Loch Lomond, and the full place is bouncing, and I'm looking at these locals and they're thinking, firstly, like, what is this song? I've never heard this song before. Why do all these people know the words? Why are they all jumping up and down? It's been a bit of an invasion, hasn't it?
Well, quite remarkable. I know we keep going on about it and how busy the squares are at East Place, but you're right, that the place we were in last night, there's just a real togetherness. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. And I touched on it earlier in the week, when clubs go away, you know, you've got your own fan base, but there's always some detractors or maybe somebody looking to make trouble for you. This has been the opposite. You know, everybody you meet is all pulling in the one direction. It's quite something.
And did he tell you that when he got to the bar, the pints were half the price of the fan zone?
Oh,
that was the next
one. I've already got that one as well.
He kept telling us as well.
That was after
night.
He says to me.
So
last night,
just to make sure we're covered. What about the football then? What are you expecting tomorrow? High hopes?
Hopefully the encouraging second game. The first game was the second game was great. So hopefully maybe keep it tight early doors and then hopefully push on. But Kieran Tierney's a big loss. So that's.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, given, although, you know, it was just a draw the other night, but the kind of knock-on effect, the feel-good factor, do you think that...
I think it was the effort they were committed. John McGinn never stopped running all game. Billy Gilmore was amazing. There was just so many good players out there. I think we just need a bit of luck.
Wonder about the bit that we don't see, Mark. This is where the sports scientists take over and players do play at high intensity with a couple of days' break. Doing it at the end of a season, and I know everybody's in the same boat as tournament football. I'm not trying to pretend it's exclusive to us, but looking at the effort Scott McTominay put in the other night, looking at the effort Shea Adams, John McGinn, Callum McGregor, whoever, I do remember getting to that Croatia game in the previous Euros, yeah, and as good as they were, like, they were better than us anyway, we did look a bit done in.
Yeah.
I wonder how you guard against that.
Yeah, it's difficult because you make a good point. It's at the end of a season where these players who are playing at the top level have went right to the tail end of the season and competing for things. So that brings about its own pressure and sometimes mentally as well, that can drag it out you. Like, to put so much in the other night that, of course, they would be feeling it. And that's why the preparation that Steve Clark does on the training field would have had to have been done prior to these games. He would have known that they're going to come round thick and fast, and they're going to take a lot of energy out the players. Maybe a lot of it's done with video analysis and walking through things rather than an intensive session on the pitch.
And the importance of a game like this tomorrow night, Gordon, I totally take on board the effort of McTominay and the guys in the middle of the park. And you look at Ralston, for instance, he had to get a pouch to get some energy back in the legs. And within, you know, 94 minutes, he's right up the right-hand side over. But I don't think that will come into play tomorrow night.
I'll get you a couple of those carb gel pouches for tonight, just so you can kick on.
Run right up that hill to the hotel. But I've got to say, I think that the occasion will carry these guys. I know what you're saying. It'd be great that you could go and rest a few of them. It's going to be strongest starting 11 that will go in that pitch.
You mentioned Kieran Tierney is out. We know that for sure. Big loss. Does Scott McKenna just, you know, slot in there? Does the team change drastically, or what do you think?
I don't think it has to change much, because the passion's there, as you say, the fight, they'll be up for it. And if they're not up for a game like this, then what are they going to be up for? Because being in the crowd, the stand, the doing the national anthem, the goosebumps you were getting was phenomenal.
Yeah, a lot of Scotland supporters we're talking to is thinking, will he go to a back four? Would you like to see that?
I'm not sure. Maybe even a James Forrest on the right. Maybe just as a wing back. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting that,
because he likes his three in the middle, doesn't he?
Yeah, again, but I wonder if the, you know, is there something in there that we don't know? I mean, Andrew and Gabriel can ask Steve Clark later. I don't know if he'll tell us, but, you know, is there somebody that's slightly under the weather, or, you know, slightly leggy? I suppose you have to prepare for these things.
Yeah, I said last night at the opening bit of the show, Gordon, I thought that McKenna would be a straight replacement in there.
So same shape.
Yeah, but just listening to the assistant manager, John Cavra, I've got a sneaky that he's going to pull a surprise and go a four and try and get two in front, three with his good attacking players.
So
McGinn, McTominay and Christie. Great energy, good legs, get forward. Adams up front. Look, I think middle to front, that is brilliant. I know Mark's going to argue the point of back four. I'm not really going to disagree with him, but I don't know if Steve Clark's going to maybe just put a surprise in there.
I really can't see it. I think he's built, you know, this system up for too long a time. And it's when you think of it, if we change system, we must be the only country in this tournament that would change system just for one player being out. And I get that he's a significant loss, but I think Scott McKenna could do a job in there just as good. And my fear would be taking one of those centre halves out and a back four being stretched across the pitch and has been too exposed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Wingy, what's the plan then? You said you're risking divorce. You're not sure about next week. If it goes to plan, you'll need to try and scramble back out.
Well, the wife said divorce, and I says I can live with that, but then she said she'd take the dog off me, so I thought, I don't want that to happen. I better go up the road. I love my dog. Oh, and I love my wife too.
We're going to get him in a man out of trouble, aren't we? I don't know if I can have this in my conscience.
I still think the surprise should be a Tommy Conway, because he came on in one of the friendlies and he just gave us something. He just looked
sharp. He was sharp against Finland,
wasn't
he? He just
looked sharp.
That's what it's hard to gauge, isn't it? Because we barely saw Lawrence Shankland, but we at least saw him. We've not seen anything of Tommy Conway. But he did look quite sharp against Finland.
Just
too far out the picture.
I
don't necessarily mean from the start.
Oh, from the start. Yeah, it could be, but everybody's crying out for Shankland. You know, so the one thing we've got, if we have to chase a game tomorrow, we have got good options that can come off the bench and probably get us a goal and get us back in there, wherever it may be. Hopefully that's not the case. But I think that Adams is a stick-on starter tomorrow night.
Maybe then, Mark, to sort of reframe the question we asked a minute ago, Gordon thinks that it doesn't really matter. Adrenaline gets everyone through tomorrow. To start with, you would be amazed then, surely, if more of the squad didn't play a part tomorrow. You know, the bench comes on earlier. Maybe James Forrest does come on. Maybe there are legs that we've not actually seen yet in the tournament.
Yeah, well, it depends the flow of the game, but you'd like to think Steve Clark would make changes sooner than he did the other night. He obviously had complete trust in that team he had the other night. You know, and obviously the injuries, he had to change things. Billy Gilmore, I think, took cramps, so that's why Kenny McLean came on. But he stuck with the majority for 88 minutes, so that shows what trust he has in him. I'll be surprised if he he sways from that tomorrow night.
Wingy, have you managed to watch many of the other nations? I mean, we watched Hungary against Switzerland and they got battered. They then did, well, obviously we set the bar pretty low, but they did a lot better against Germany than we did. What do you make of them?
I've watched most of the games and I just thought, I watched the Hungary-Switzerland game and I thought, they're two good teams and I thought we were going to struggle. But since we put up that fight against Switzerland, I thought, the Hungary are there for the beating.
It's a difficult one. I don't know where to lean. If you lean on where they're ranked and how well they qualified for this tournament, I wouldn't be feeling so great about things, I have to say. They're one of those teams probably that on paper, they're not like loads of superstars in there. Everyone knows Liverpool, Szoboszlai in there, but you know, they're not loads of these like massive standout names, but they clearly function well, don't they, if they got here with such ease.
Well, we beat Spain 2-0, so we're just going to...
There you go, that's
it. Going in transition right now, but we did beat them. So
I like it.
Hopefully
it's as easy as that.
The Scottish passion will get us through this.
I'm liking the way Wingy's thinking. That's why I was his neighbour all those years ago.
I even took your bins out.
Did you look inside them?
No. They're a bit heavy, like that.
That's funny, that. There's a lot of glass jingling around, I suspect. You see what I mean, though, Mark? They'd be a great example, probably, of a unit that functions really well, rather than relying on loads of individual superstars.
Yeah, look, they're a quality team. Was it coming into this tournament, was it 15 unbeaten? And somebody mentioned last night when they beat England, it was John Carver, actually, they beat England at Molineux 4-0. Was that maybe about 18 months ago or something like that? So clearly a good outfit, no real superstars apart from the Liverpool boy, but clearly know how to get the job done. And they've been undone by two excellent teams. Are we an excellent team? No, I don't think we are. So what we need is every player playing to their peak tomorrow and a wee bit of luck, like Wingy says, that's what we need.
Yeah, it's funny because seeing that Patrick Schick goal back against us for Czech Republic on the TV about half an hour ago and thinking of Shaqiri the other night, I know you can't rely on these things, but it would be nice that if you make a minor mistake, it doesn't get pounced upon in world-class fashion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that is the elite. You know, at these tournaments, you get really punished, but it would be nice if we got something like that. I mean, it seems like we have to create so much and, you know, the goal the other night, six bodies forward.
Got a bit with the deflection the other night, I suppose.
I suppose it was still on target, though, but wasn't it, you know, something outrageous. But it'd be nice if we got something going away tomorrow.
Right, Wingy, who are you with? Are you giving them a mention?
I'm with young Luke, Jack and Michael. Michael's my best pal, Jack's his nephew and Luke's his son.
And you're going strong, couple of days left. Maybe even see you back next week.
Hopefully, but I'll be back, it's just whether...
If you're back, I'll put your bins out.
Right, thank you very much. you can walk the dog and all.
Wingy from Bigger.
I wouldn't say anything else.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Enjoy
thank
your
you
day
guys.
Tomorrow.
Cheers,
see you later. It's 01419511025 if you want involved on the phones. Please do. Still want to hear that sound of you on the phone lines like we always do here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but it is the beauty of it. These live shows allowing us to speak to various Scotland fans, find out their stories, find out how they are enjoying the experience, looking ahead to the game. It is still goalless in that game between Georgia and Czech Republic with 39 minutes gone, Mark. I mean, this is tournament football. This is tournament football in a nutshell, where we are tuned to Georgia, Czech Republic in a different group, hoping that it's a draw because that somehow will benefit Scotland going forward.
Yeah, can you imagine watching this just at home on a Saturday if it wasn't tournament football? Definitely not, but of course everything, you know, anything that happens in this game can impact us hugely, so we're tuned into it and let's hope it stays this way.
Now would be a good time to call, by the way. I know there are still Scotland fans here we can speak to, but I do like to get in touch with you from home, so if you want to dial that usual number or even send us a tweet at Clyde SSB and we'll get the thoughts of you and many other Scotland fans after these.
0141 951 1025, live from Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Stuttgart. We are right next to the stadium. We could barely be any closer to where Steve Clark's side will take to the field tomorrow, hoping to get that win against Hungary and progress to the knockout stages. For anyone who cares, it is battering down with rain. I don't know if that will make the players feel a bit more at home as they head up from their base. They've been getting on the bus in the not too distant past. They're heading up here. Steve Clark will do his press conference this evening. So I wonder if there are any significant updates for us or whether it will be more of the same. We have got Callum from Hamilton joining us live here. How's it going, Callum?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
Enjoying the trip?
I'm having a great time. The Germans have been fantastic, so welcoming, friendly. The Tartan Army have been absolutely superb. It's been a fantastic trip, I must admit.
Callum's got the kilt on, he's putting us to shame, it has to be said.
Yeah, he's looking well.
I'm sure I actually saw something on social media about like German fans trying to arrange a like yearly friendly or something against Scotland, such as the joy of the relationship. It has, it's gone really well, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And all the Germans are walking about singing No Scotland, No Party as well. So's
Gordon DL, although Joe somehow can't get the words right.
The words wrong. Yeah.
I mean, three different words.
Bear making up your own words.
A few different variations.
I would say so, yeah.
As the tournament's gone on. What are we thinking tomorrow then? Everyone seems to be quite confident and optimistic. Is that right? Are we overhyping it? How do you feel?
No, I think we showed a lot of spirit in the last game, and I think we have a genuine chance against Hungary tomorrow. I'm really quite confident, to be honest. I think we can do it.
Is that based on the sort of hunger and spirit shown in the Switzerland game?
I thought they really showed a lot of spirit in that game, and I think if we can continue that, then we've got a real chance, yeah.
I hope they harness that, Mark, in a way, you know. We've got like the celebration police who say, you know, you shouldn't over celebrate a draw sort of thing. Yeah. I'm not suggesting you over celebrate it, but I hope they manage to really take the positives from it whilst obviously, you know, tidying up anything that needs to be tidied up. Just to at the very least get into this with belief high, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but it'd be nice to know that that's the way they were feeling.
Well, I think you've got to approach a game with the same principles as you set out against Switzerland. We made the point against Switzerland that we felt that Scotland had to play the game early in Switzerland's half, and I think they did that in the first 5 minutes, and they went a wee bit more direct, and we got maybe three or four corners in the opening 5 minutes, a couple of throw-ins, and that set the tone for the game. Now, I believe that's the way forward against Hungary. But then when it settled, we were brave in possession. Billy Gilmore was obviously huge in that, taking the ball at the edge of the box and started to dictate play. We need more of that tomorrow. You know, we can't be as standoffish as we were against Germany. We can't be as open as we were at times against Switzerland. But we need to be brave in possession. That's how we got, you know, more positive actions within the game a couple of nights ago.
Interestingly, we said we were watching the game today, Georgia, Czech Republic, and in a roundabout way, if you look at all the permutations, Scotland probably want this game to end in a draw. Well, there's a penalty to Georgia right on the stroke of half-time. It was a handball, a VAR check, not noticed at the time, and you have to say when you see it back, I don't think there was any doubt, Mark. Yeah. Arm outstretched and all that sort of stuff, unnatural position.
Yep, well, chance for them to take the lead here, and what a time to get it, just at the stroke of half-time. Again, I relate everything to tomorrow night. If only we could get something like that. It was just a kind of hopeful ball into the box and it ricochets off a hand, so we could be doing a bit of that luck.
I don't know if they changed penalty taker on the back of Hamden, because you may remember they got one right at the end, and the boy from Napoli,
what's his name?
The star man, Kvaric Kelia, something along those lines.
Oh,
he blazed it over the bar, didn't he? Right at the end of that
did,
one.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
That night in the rain.
Are you confident here?
So I'll stick this away.
Do you? I've got a sneaky.
Has there been many penalties?
I'm liking
in this
the
tournament.
Goalkeeper here.
So far, I can't recall many penalties. Is this the first one?
I don't know why you've just thrown that question off.
It seems like this could be the first one. If that is the first one, what a start.
No, I don't think it is.
David's shaking his head, no.
Steps. Oh, what a great penalty it is. So Georgia lead the Czech Republic by a goal to nil at half time, because that whistle is going to go very soon indeed. You can send us a tweet as well or call us. We've got Callum here who joins us live. Callum, would you change the team drastically in any way, or is it just a case of filling in for Kieran Tierney and keeping everything else as is?
I would keep it pretty much the same as the Switzerland game, yes. Yeah. I thought Billy Gilmore was absolutely outstanding. I must admit, I thought he was absolutely brilliant during the game. Kieran Tierney's a big loss, though. He really is one of our star players, you know, a real playmaker. So I don't know how that will go without him, but I thought Billy Gilmore was outstanding, I must admit.
Teams always say this sort of stuff, Mark, but you never know. I'm not going to scoff at it, because I'm not in those dressing rooms and those scenarios. I think there will be a lot of we want to do this for Kieran Tierney type stuff. You know, you've seen the kind of stuff on social media. He posted quite an emotional message about going home, and all the players were, you know, commenting on it. And so, and I know to many people that seems like a small thing. It's just a modern social media age phenomenon. But I'm sure they'll all. I mean, as an example, Lyndon Dykes is still here with the team, having been injured before they even flew out. So hopefully, there's just those small things, that type of team spirit that all. All adds up in the right way.
I think that's a reflection of how close Steve Clark has got this group together. And we keep saying it's like club mentality. And what we mean by that is when you're at a club, you're there on each other's toes every single day. And it's quite difficult to get that in an international group because you only meet up, you know, several times a year if you're lucky. But this group seem to like each other. I refer back to the time that I was sparsely in the Scotland team. There were cliques, you know,
really?
From different clubs, yeah, and that was just the way. And I think that reflected our performances at that time. And when you flip it and you get a group that's so together, you see the performances and getting to major tournaments.
What clique did you get in?
The Dundee United one. Ooh. And there was only one.
So me. One man, just him.
The managers.
I just sat myself, yeah, on the bench.
Brilliant, thank you very much, Callum. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your trip.
Thank
and maybe
you very
we'll
much.
See you again.
Yes.
You take care.
Thank you so
cheers,
much.
Mate.
Thank you, cheers.
Good man, that was Callum. And Callum, the producer back home, say that Callum should do radio adverts. The lovely radio voice,
according
yes,
to have.
The producer. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Look, his voice,
I
Callum,
do.
Like
I
smooth.
I
yeah, he's the boss, Callum. We could get you some voiceover work on the radio. Brilliant. Take care. You can give us a call on 01419511025. That is the work that you... That's the number, sorry, that you need. Doogie's on the line. How's it going, Doogie?
It's going very well, Gordon. Gordon, Mark, how are you doing?
Doogie.
All good here, Doogie. What have you taken away from this tournament then? What's on your mind today?
So I was in Munich for the game last week. I'd driven over with a couple of friends. Had a great time in Munich for the weekend. Brought back a carry out, as you do. And I was encouraged by the performance on Wednesday against Switzerland. But I was also quite disappointed because I thought we could have gone for it, which would have made tomorrow less pressurised. But my main point was, having watched the VAR incidents, they seem to get through it quite quickly for the majority. And the only one that I've actually noticed taking any amount of time was last night in the Holland-France game, where it was an English referee set, and it seemed to take an eternity for them to come up with a decision. So my point essentially was, I think the technology is okay. I think the technology there is probably better than the one we use in terms of the wall they put up. But the application that we use, I think, is the challenge, not necessarily the technology in its own right.
It's a good point. I've been noticing this anyway before. I think we've said, you know, if you watch international games and Champions League games, they still make bad decisions, but their use of VAR seems to be cleaner, seems to be less fussy. Look, automated offsides really, really helps. It's also really, really expensive, so maybe let's get that out of our heads in terms of thinking about the return of the Scottish Premiership next season. But it has been quite slick, Mark.
Yeah, well, decision making has been better, and like you're saying, it's been quicker. But I think we noticed that. Well, I certainly noticed that in the Champions League games and the European games towards the tail end of the season. There seemed to have been a real shift in how those games were viewed through the lens of VAR. And I'm pleased to see it being implemented in this tournament. Can we get to that stage? Well, I don't know. It obviously takes a lot of training. These are the top referees around Europe that are at this tournament, and we don't have that. I'm not being harsh on our refs, but we've got no representation here.
It does seem to be, though, as Doogie says, it seems to be like more of a procedural thing, though, because English refs are here, and they're the ones that had that standout incident last night, that offside. That was always going to be given. I know people hate that sort of stuff, but it was just always going to be given. You look at where he is, had the shot gone in the other corner where the France player wasn't standing, and therefore he's not where the goalie was about to move to, the goal would have stood. But I think it was nearly a 3 minute check.
Yeah,
it's almost as if not only Scottish refs but English refs are full time and best in the world and whatever, so you know, richest league in the world, it seems like there's more of a procedural thing that they just don't quite do, or that you know, rather than lacking some sort of ability. It can't be that.
No, certainly not. I think the one last night, I could see why that took some time. I think even us in the fan zone.
Really though, but why? Because he's obviously offside, right? He's not even close. So then you've got a very, as we said, if it's going in the other corner, then the goal just stands, the goalkeeper can get there, but as soon as you see him standing as close as he is to the goalie, where the goalie was about to move,
yeah,
what was the check?
Just because, well, I think just because if he was standing right in front of him or just to the side, they're then trying to judge, was he going to get it anyway? I can see why that took a bit of time, but they got to the correct decision, in my view. But of course, VAR back home, we would like to see it run as slickly as this. We would love the automated offsides, but it's never, you're right, Gordon, we're never going to get that, or if we do get it, it'll be a long time down the road. But I've enjoyed VAR, and I think it's what we thought VAR was going to be, looking at this.
Yeah, it's just funny, because that was the longest check of the tournament last night.
Yeah, we're about 8 days into the tournament, and this is the first time we've actually brought up the subject of VAR, Gordon, whereas we're 8 minutes into the season in Scotland, and it's constant. So it just shows you the difference over here, and I think what's happened is, everybody that's watching these games, I think, is enjoying the tournament. We're talking about the football. We're getting exciting football. We're getting goals. So I just think that the VAR over here, so far, fingers crossed, has been absolutely excellent.
Can Scotland do it tomorrow, Dougie, whether it's with the VAR help or not?
I think so, but only if we go for it. I think, and I know it goes against the way that Stevie likes to work, but I think we need to be attacking from the first. I would have Shanklin in straight away because it gives us something different, and I would probably I heard the guys talking earlier on, not necessarily sure a back four, but I would give some width to the team, so I would have James Forrest on the right wing or the left wing, but have an outlay for the ball on the wing that stretches the game, which will give us a better option for Shanklin to run in.
So who do you leave out then in the middle of the park, because that's going to upset your middle of the park? You've no balance there.
Well, you have, you know, somebody came on earlier on to a 4-2-3-1. So you could easily have Forrest playing on the three. I hate to say it, because I love the guy. I think he's a fantastic player. But John McGinn's been ineffective in the last two games. So
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But I think going in to probably one of the most important games for a long, long time, I think that would be a massive gamble to leave McGinn out. He's not had the best tournament so far, but McGinn, for me, is a top-quality player, and I think John McGinn will certainly start the game.
Thank you to Dougie on the light. You're getting it tight on Twitter, Matt Wilson, for somehow forgetting that Scotland gave away a penalty in the opening game of the tournament. I know it's been a long trip, right? But
that seemed like a different tournament.
I say the Euro has got to him. I'll square you up later.
His head is gone. Anyway, it's that time of the afternoon already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. We're going to do another Live in Germany special where we find a victim on in here. I think hopefully we can. I think given some of your performance last night, Gordon Dale, we could pick one of the barmaids who doesn't speak English and knows nothing about Scottish football.
Well, we'd probably go to tiebreak.
She might take you to the tiebreaker. So we'll see what we can do in here and we'll play Beat the Pundit after these.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Stuttgart, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Stuttgart. We are just next to the stadium here where Scotland will play tomorrow, hoping for a positive outcome. Of course, we're edging ever closer to the team arriving in Stuttgart. Steve Clark will do his press conference a bit later this afternoon, and then it will be a good night's kip and on to showtime tomorrow. You can get in touch on the phones, just like Dougie before the news did, 0141 951 1025. Give us the view from home, how you're feeling, what you think the team should look like. Maybe you've even got a sort of left field point Dougie called in about the use of VAR at the tournament. Maybe you've something else that's caught your eye. Do give us a call right now and we will speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. We don't always play Beat the Pundit on a Saturday afternoon, I have to say, but these things are a bit different, so we'll do it here live in Germany. You're off the hook on the phone. We've got a contestant standing by. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Luke Faker.
Luke from Kaluk. Easy to remember.
Another Motherwell supporter.
Another Motherwell fan. Are you with Wingy?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you might be. Yeah. So that's good. You've got a good taste in football team. We've established that. How's the trip been?
Good, aye. Came out on Tuesday. Go back on Monday.
What are you expecting tomorrow?
I think we'll win. I don't think they've been too good, but I think we'll do it.
Everybody's saying that, and with the exact same tone as well. Nobody's going, ah, easy. Everybody just goes, yeah, I think we'll win. With that same exact tone. Hopefully, Luke is right. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No.
Just shout out at the... Aye. The radio when you're playing at home.
He gets a few, he says.
Does he?
Yeah, he's put a bit of pressure
Let's
on himself.
Find out. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. Would you look at that? It's heads. It's Mark Wilson. Mark, you take yourself off so that you can't hear what's going on in here. And look, it's very simple. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. But if you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay? Is he far enough away, that Mark Wilson? Can you hear us? He's pretending he can't hear.
He's gone. Yeah, I can hear he's...
Right, we've got 30 seconds on the clock. Luke, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good man. Your time starts now. In what city was Scotland's first Euros game?
Munich.
Name any current Scotland player whose first cap was more than a decade ago.
Pass.
Who wears Scotland's number 9 shirt in this squad?
Shankland.
Rob Page was sacked this week as manager of which international team?
Wales.
Name any Euro 2024 team who have not conceded yet.
Germany.
Which Spanish player has been banned from playing their next game against Albania? How many red cards have been in the tournament so far?
One.
Okay. Mark Wilson, join us again.
Great effort, Luke.
Luke's got a wee fan club round as well, which is
effort.
Good. You're going to do the mind games on Wilson here, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, he was all right, you know.
Oh, he was good. He's more than all right. Seven.
I can't believe you got an 11 out of 10. That was unbelievable. Are you ready, Mark Wilson?
Yes.
On primed and ready. The same set of questions with 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. In what city was Scotland's opening Euro game?
Munich.
Name any current Scotland player whose first cap was more than a decade ago.
John McGinn.
Who wears Scotland's number 9 in this squad?
Shankland.
Rob Page was sacked this week as manager of which international
Wales.
Team? Name any Euro 2024 team who've not conceded a goal yet.
Germany.
Which Spanish player has been banned from playing their next match against Albania?
Pass.
How many red cards have been at the tournament so far?
Zero.
Name any side.
This Germany Scotland games.
I did start the question. I did start, so unfortunately I let you finish. Name any side who qualified for the Euros through the playoffs.
Georgia.
Okay. Luke, how do you think it went?
Not bad, Luke.
Luke was not bad.
Composed there. You do know that we
do you remember that game against Germany?
The trip's been that long. It feels like a different decade.
Anyway, in what city was the opening game? It was Munich. You both got it. Well done. Name any current Scotland player whose first cap was more than a decade ago. You had the choice of Hanley, Forrest, or Andy Robertson. So none of you got. Who did you go for again?
I passed.
None of you. I thought that was quite tough under, because as an example, Andy Robertson's was like March 2014, just over a decade ago. Anyway, 1-1. You both got Lauren Shankland wears number 9. You both got that. Well done. You both got Rob Page was sacked as Wales manager.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd get
both
that.
Both got it.
Yeah.
Interestingly, you both made the same mistake. Don't take that brilliant Rudiger own goal away from us. Germany have conceded. Of course they have. Spain, France, Romania, etc. So none of you got that. The Spanish player banned from playing against Albania was Rodri.
Yeah, Luke got it.
Luke got it.
Oh, did you?
Luke got it.
No.
Two yellow cards. The one was for speaking to the ref, remember? He like that thing where apparently it's only the captain now that's allowed to speak to the ref, and they've not really been enforcing it, but they did, and Rodri's now suspended.
That's a good one.
How many red cards have there been?
One.
At this tournament, Mark Wilson. We spent many hours talking about it. It was one. Ryan Porteous and Luke got it.
Did Jesus,
yes, me. I'm beat. Two ahead. However, Luke ran out of questions here, so you saved a bit of face, but not that much. Georgia came through the playoffs, so did Ukraine, and so did Poland. So a 5-4 win, yes, for young Luke.
Well done, Luke.
Luke,
congratulations.
Luke. Well done.
My first defeat on this trip.
I was going to say, you've travelled pretty well.
Yeah.
It's your first defeat since we got
how
here.
How you feel?
Deflated.
I don't know how you
I
get that.
I keep forgetting that Germany-Scotland game.
That was right on the boom.
I've tried to remove it from my memory as well, for what it's worth. But it'd be worth hanging on to just a little bit longer. Luke, enjoy that.
Good well man. Done, Sean.
Nothing phases this guy.
I know. He's took any stride there. Scott, we're going to a celebration. Get the top off.
Good man. I think, Luke, how old are you, Luke?
16.
I was going to say, not even a celebratory stein for Luke.
No.
Because he's
no,
behaving
it's
himself.
Legal.
Is it?
Right.
Oh, there we go. I'll take it off.
Well, look, hold on. Luke was telling us again at 3 o'clock last night. Well, his preparation was very good.
I'm not getting involved in that, quite frankly. I don't want to advise anyone correct or incorrect. Well done, Luke. Thank you for
Luke. Yes, Luke.
Taking part. There we go. Well done to Luke.
I'm going to pause it. I can't believe it.
01419511025. That is the number that you need if you want to join in, right? No, you get these certain themes that like run throughout Clyde One Super Scoreboard in a year. Like, just some things never change, and you all sort of form your own character. You know, like this guy here, your partner in crime, Gordon Dale. Like, unpredictable, and you never quite know what's going to happen. Quite calamitous. I had a special guest lined up for us this afternoon, right?
Okay.
One of our pals, one of our colleagues, one of our friends of the show, Marvin Bartley. Because he's here, of course, his partner's out working, and he was going to come on, he was going to join us on the show. You two are excited.
Yeah, boss.
Because the big man talks a lot.
I love him.
So you two could have kicked back, bit of recovery after last night, and he could have taken over for a bit.
Sound good.
But what's his defining characteristic?
He's late, always.
Getting places on time. I mean, we've been on already for an hour and 10 minutes. I told him it was 3 until 5, and at first it was great. I'll see you there. Drop a pin, just like you do.
Yeah, drop a pin.
I sent him the location. Then he couldn't get a taxi. Then he ordered an Uber. Then the Uber cancelled. Now the Uber's saying another 40 minutes, and he's saying pretty much
no point
that he's not coming, basically.
He's at it.
Yeah.
He is at it. He's got the feet up in the hotel, resting, relaxing.
The excuses, Uber, and he's not got an excuse now, because when he beat with Queen of South, he would never come in
on
Wednesday
Saturday
night.
Afternoon, because he was busy.
Yeah,
he never got a job
in,
anymore.
Never come in on Wednesday night. Disappointing. I was looking forward to seeing him.
Honestly, he's saying, "Oh, it's a 20-5 drop off now. Probably
surely
no point."
Surely he could have ran here. A fit lad like himself.
It's boring, to be fair, isn't it?
I wouldn't stop a man like
but
Marvin.
There we go. We thought we were going to get him. This is about as close as we'll get. Because he'll have a ticket for the game tomorrow, no doubt.
Oh, yes.
And we'll be sitting here in this sports bar.
Get him on the phone.
So, yeah, we could do that maybe, actually. See if we can. It'll be the noise of like beer glasses in the background.
Exactly.
And we'll expose him for lying about his Uber. 01419511025, if that is the number that you need. Germans can buy and drink soft alcoholic beverages and wine at the age of 16 without an adult supervision. So there we go, we've cleared it up for Luke.
Listen, no, last Saturday we were out for dinner, and there was two kids sitting beside us with half a beer each.
I was just checking.
They were about eight.
We weren't getting Luke in trouble. Anyway, we're going to do a caller very soon indeed, but we've also got Steve, who joins us live in Stuttgart. How's it going, Steve?
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. What's the feeling ahead of tomorrow? Are we at that excited stage? Are there any nerves creeping in? What are you feeling?
Oh, very excited.
Yeah.
Quite confident for tomorrow, actually.
Do you think there is something in that about being here? You're like swept up in everything. I feel like most of the people we've had on are really optimistic.
Yeah, definitely. You get a feeling every day. You go about, you speak to different people. You get that confidence about you. Yeah, definitely.
On the football pitch, what's given you confidence based on what we've seen?
Most of it, apart from Anthony Ralston, is a little concern of mine, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, look, Barkey made the mistake the other night. I think everyone acknowledges he's in there because there are injuries to other areas, but I mean, that's international football. You can only use what's there at your disposal, and he's going to play again, isn't he? No doubt, really.
You would think so. I mean, it's not like there is no other right backs or right sided players in the squad, and Anthony Ralston's the only one that can give us balance. There are options here, and Steve Clarke has had a good look at the squad in training and in the warm up games, and he's chose Ralston. Look, is he an elite right back? No, of course we're not saying that. What does he give you? He gives you that effort and energy on the right side. I feel for him slightly because we touched on the point of him playing right wing back compared to right back, where when he receives the ball as a right back, he's got so much grass in front of him, he's got an option outside, he's got an option inside, and he can play it in the channel. As a right wing back, he's receiving the ball right in the touchline, and teams are closing him down. So he's gave up possession an awful lot. People are saying his body position isn't right. There is subtle differences in playing those positions, and like, it's maybe not worked for him going forward, but he's a solid, dependable player. And the mistake the other night, like, it was a small mistake. Steve Clarke even said that it was a wonderful finish that probably 9 times out of 10 in any other game that does not get punished.
I think it was a more of a bad decision, you know, playing that pass, and he get punished in a situation probably, and Steve Clarke's right, 9 out of 10 they wouldn't get punished. Take that out the game, take that away from Ralston. I don't think he's let us down in this. I totally agree with everyone that if everybody's fit, he's certainly not our number one in that position. But I don't think, and I thought after the goal, it's very easy to get into your shell, but I thought he dug in well.
I really did think
he showed a lot of character and dug in well. Look, he may change the team tomorrow night, but I've got a feeling that Ralston will start.
He probably will. I just feel also that Ross McCrory's played a fair bit of fit, but you know, playing right wing back, more suited, as you're saying, about picking the ball up in the right positions. And maybe slight Aberdeen bias.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. I wondered if
so
there
Scott
was
the... McKenna's a shoo-in to come into the team this weekend.
Ryan Jack, oh no, you don't like him, do you, since he left?
Who?
I thought you might say that. Who else? Ryan Christie, do you still try and claim him a couple of seasons
or more? Oh, I definitely. Right, okay. He's had a couple of seasons there, sure.
Who else are we getting in? Graham Shinney, we give him
Kenny
another call.
Kenny McLean, he's in there.
Yeah, well done.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with a tiny bit of club bias, I suppose.
Well, I may go down the Kirkcaldy route. My wife's from there.
Oh, don't know.
Massive fan. Growing up, her idol was, well, to be fair, it was Colin Cameron, but, you know.
Exactly. She's got good taste. I can't stress to you how little we should go down that route. Yeah. You just don't know what's ever going to be said on that subject. Mark, it'd be interesting to see how much football we would see from Ross McCrory, you know, even if it is a sizeable part of the game tomorrow, maybe not from the start, because the time he's had at Bristol has been so up and down, because there was a really, really bad injury, so he didn't play at all at the start, but then finished the season extremely strongly and has actually played the wing-back one as well. So if we're talking about the familiarity, maybe we do see him at some point.
So what was he had? Probably about 22 appearances, something like that, from January to now, which is a considerable amount of football. You compare that to what Anthony Ralston's had, well, probably the same or maybe more appearances. I think tomorrow it will be to do with energy levels. You spoke about sports science team, and this is where they come into their own and advising Steve Clarke and chatting with the player. That does touch on it earlier. You saw the energy pouch going on to Ralston. He put so much into the two games that Steve Clarke might just look at that and think, you know, there's not much between them, and that might be purely his decision to go with McCrory.
A bit of fresh legs, maybe.
The only thing is, Steve Clarke's not one for drastic changes and lots of changes, and I think it'd be a big gamble in such an important game to start ripping everything up. We finished on a high.
Is that ripping up though?
We've got callers on talking about, one, we're having a discussion, will he change formation because Tierney and Robertson and McGregor, that's what they spoke about, that strength down the left hand side, we've not got that. Will he bring McKenna in as a straight swap? Will he go to a back four? People are saying get Forrest in, get Shanklin on.
He's not a kind of manager. He's not going to do all that.
Exactly, and that's where I'm coming from. And look, there's a squad there to be used, and people will be shouting down the phones just now. That's what it's there for. And Shankland and Forrest and McCrory, all these guys. But that's not Steve Clarke's style for me. And I think he'll just make one or two wee tweaks, whether it will be formation or whether, obviously, it has got to be personnel at the back because Tierney's obviously missing. It'll be interesting.
Are you one of these that's torn about what do you do if we go through? It's a nice problem to have.
I can't make a comment on that one on live on the radio, no chance.
Employer or partner, who's going to give you in more trouble?
Oh, partner, all day long.
I do wonder how people are going to manage this. Everyone's put their eggs in the group stage basket, and then hopefully We're here for a bit longer. I mean, wouldn't even, it's too hard, early to tell even what city it would be in or anything. This is exciting, but we need to do the business on the pitch first. Thank you very much.
No,
it was a pleasure.
Gentlemen.
Enjoy
absolutely
the rest
thank you much
of your trip. We did say, if you're looking at those permutations, it's probably the case that we would prefer a draw between Georgia and Czech Republic. So although we fell out with them a bit at the previous Euros, we're all Czech Republic fans here because they're trailing Georgia by a goal to nil. So a Czech Republic equaliser would be lovely if we could just get one of those very soon before the end of this one. Do we have a caller lined up? I think we do. Let's bring in David, who's in the city centre. How's it going, David?
Yeah, I'm fine. How's Mark after the bird poo in his leg and his ankle?
Yeah, you got
full of luck. Thank you.
Yeah. You know that phrase that you want to use when someone, when a bird does that? It's just not radio friendly.
No. I've been lucky ever since. I was lucky to find my way home last night.
Yeah. Do you know, actually, see, when I left you last night, I did wonder, because you were doing that thing that people do. You were full of it a couple of days ago. Nah, that's me. That's me done for the trip.
I'm
focusing on my running and climbing Kilimanjaro in a couple of weeks, so I'm focused on that.
You know what it was that made me stay? It was a member of the Tartan Army up in a seat, twisting a light bulb on and off like a strobe light, and we thought it was quite entertaining until 30 seconds later they got lobbed out. So that's what
that
made me
was
stay.
Enough to make you stay. Yeah,
I was entertaining.
You were really hard to
see where that.
It was really
was
tough
going
to keep you there, I have to say. David, what's on your mind tonight then? Czech Republic have just equalised, by the way. Sorry, on you go.
It's about the Tartan Army and how the Germans have embraced it, and the way that they've conducted themselves has been absolutely fantastic. I can only see it in social media. You don't really see it in news because the news is kind of biased. They don't really show with the England fans. The Scotland fans travelling to the games and their tens of thousands. Riot police are there because that's what Germany have, riot police. They don't have riot gear on. Their helmets are strapped to their side. It's male and female. They're having banter with the Tartan Army. They're smiling. They're laughing. They're enjoying themselves. Flip to the other side, the England fans, it's riots. They're in full riot gear. They're causing trouble everywhere. Nobody's happy to have them there. I mean, they've never said to the border for us, and just they go there and it's just not a party. They're getting drunk and it's just mayhem with them, with the Scotland fans as party. I mean, the other night when Germany scored their own goal, Scotland fans celebrated as if we'd won the game because we scored the goal. We're happy to be there and compete in it, and now we've got a chance of taking it to the next level. We've had so many gracious failures when we beat Holland and then the goal scored us to put us out. This, I think, is our time. I think it'll be close and we'll get a 2-1. And I think Forrest might come on and set up the winning goal.
What a prediction that is. We're predicting who's going to assist the goal that wins it for Scotland tomorrow. I have to say, I've actually got no idea what England have been up to. I haven't actually seen that much in terms of fan stuff, so I don't think there's much doing there this time around. But I think he's right about the Scotland fans. I always sort of, you know, because we will do this round and round, you know. If you take a big collection of any group of fans, really, you're going to get people in there who are, for want of a better expression, a bit daft and who are going to cause bother. It doesn't really matter what team they support, but I've actually not really seen that yet. I remember coming down last night to the fan zone. There was a big group of police, lights were flashing. I thought, oh, maybe we're about to see for the first time something small, but it was just a bunch of locals who had been causing bother amongst themselves, and it's been, there's still time for it to go wrong.
I don't think it will, Gordon. We've been here since, what, the 12th, a long time ago, and the people of Germany have been absolutely brilliant. I've got to say, it's one of the nicest countries I've been to. I've enjoyed my stay, Munich, and obviously Cologne, and here now in Stuttgart. And the welcoming that you get from everyone concerned is brilliant. And what it does is goes hand in hand with the Tartan Army, who have been terrific and well behaved.
Do you know what a moment you missed at the fan zone last night? This was before you arrived, because you'd gone home to change out of your Primark clothes that you bought into your designer gear. You obviously had big plans for last night that you wanted to get changed for. You missed a moment with him that would have tipped you over the edge, because you know you're sick of Dundee United fans coming up to him.
Uh-huh.
So obviously you'll get Celtic fans, kind of more of them and a bit more recognisable, and you're sick of Dundee United fans who seem to be finding him while we're here.
It's a lot over here.
Last night, gets a tap on the shoulder. Mark Weir Dumbarton fans, and we'll never forget that goal you scored against Rangers.
They were loving it.
Guy must have played him three times for them.
Right, let me tell you, I can just picture this, right, because when Celtic fans comes up, he embraces it. Dundee United fan embraces it. He would not have liked a Dumbarton fan recognising him, let me tell you.
They were starstruck.
He was going the Sons of the Rock, you know. I loved my time there.
was awful as well. Awful, but I made their night.
He was saying the Suns, honestly. Yeah, he was delighted. Anyway, 01419511025. Thanks to David. It was nice to check in with David in the city centre. And we'll get more build up to the big game next.
The Tartan Army Tour of Germany moves on to Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson join us on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the final build-up continues to Scotland taking on Hungary tomorrow. I've just looked outside the window of the sports bar here, and it's reminded me of the scene when the three of us arrived here this afternoon. Mark Wilson, a fairly calamitous episode. Gordon DL doing Gordon DL things. You know the most tempting thing in the world when there's a football just bouncing harmlessly towards you and you just know you want to kick it or do something with it? There's these young guys playing football at the top of a big set of stone stairs, and it comes bouncing all the way down the stairs. It's bouncing right towards Gordon DL. This is his big moment. First time he's seen a football since 1996. And to be fair, touch on the chest, immaculate. Down onto the thigh, immaculate. He then tries to swing the right boot at it, scuffs it downwards, it hits the stairs, and it sort of scoops up and starts spinning, and it goes over this wall and then down the ramp of an underground car park. It could not have been further away. The look on the poor guy's face, his ball is miles away now, and it's not like you tried, you know, it's not the old, what is it, Peter Kay, you know, it wasn't one of them. Tried to kick it back to him, but it's hit the stairs and somehow gone down the ramp of an underground car park.
You know, I set myself up brilliantly for it because I knew you used to were watching. Right, first two touches,
he tried so hard,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah,
it
beautiful.
Worked out better for us.
Beautiful, and then the right hip just didn't.
I was the way he just walked on though up the stairs. Sorry, the boys. Sorry, and the ball's away. I wonder if they've got it back. Actually,
poor German kids. Saved up all their money for the replica Euro 2024.
He showed
ball.
His level there.
I thought about telling them that you used to do this professionally, and I thought, I'll just
they wouldn't have believed you.
No,
if you said that guy was ex-professional.
I've got to say, they were really. I seen their faces when I took the first couple of touches, and you could actually sense they're going, "This is a player." I don't know what happened. To this. I do not have. I don't know what happened to the old right hip.
One of those things that
couldn't get there.
Sort of sum you up because you
couldn't get there.
You actually didn't do a lot wrong, but it ended up in complete disaster. Miles away.
That was amazing.
It was when it went right. And just miles, you could see the wee boy's face looking over. He wasn't too pleased, was he?
Poor kids.
Anyway, 01419511025. If you want to get in touch on the phones, please do. We're taking your calls as always as we build up to the big game tomorrow. It is still Georgia 1, Czech Republic 1. Remember, that's the game that we're kind of hoping is a draw. This is all to do with the permutations and what it means for Scotland finishing one of the better placed third teams in the group. So I know there's a lot of water has to pass under the bridge, but just this idea that maybe Scotland could go through on 2 points, which would be quite something, but we really need Georgia and Czech Republic to draw today. Right, we've got more live Scotland action. We've got Jock who joins us. How are you?
How you doing? Not too bad.
Now it says you're from Kent, Jock, but you're
originally Paisley,
but you're in Kent.
I've been down there for about 40 years, so it's...
And am I right in saying can I hear some English accents with Scotland tops on? With you?
Yes, but we're all in a group called Sons of Scotland.
Brilliant.
And we follow it everywhere.
Superb. How's it been over here then?
Really quite good. Yeah, apart from the first game in Munich, that was a bit sort of on a downer, but the rest of it, it's not too bad.
Does times like these make all those rubbish games, those rubbish trips you've been on, feel a bit worth it?
You make it up for, like, we got a draw against Swiss, which was maybe we could have done better, but we're all getting ready and the goosebumps are coming out again for the Hungary game.
So what's the makeup of the group? All guys from, are they all from Kent? Have you dragged anyone else from Paisley?
We have a scattered crowd. We were called Sons of Scotland, but we're from like Elgin, Fockabers, Huntley, down in Kent, Renfrew, everywhere.
Well, but I could get you two signed up for the next trip now that you've got a flavour.
We'd love to do that.
Now that you've got the scent for international tournaments, you two could, could join in.
We'll get the chase for it.
I'd like to see you in Jock's outfit. He's got the kilt.
Jock's looking brilliant.
Look at that. I like that.
Tartan Armani t-shirt.
Beautiful Jock.
That is a bit of you, Gordon Deal.
And I haven't changed since I got this. I bought this.
Jock, I know you haven't changed since you got that. I'm sitting next to you.
It's a bit smelly, but don't worry.
That's what trips are all about. I've seen Gordon Deal turn his underwear inside out five times since
we got
here.
That's not a nice thing.
It is not. What are the hopes for tomorrow then? What are you thinking on the field?
I think we've got to get and go for it. There's none of this like holding back, putting a defence out. We've got to attack. I play more forward line.
Yeah. What do you think it looks like, Mark, in reality? Because I'm not sure. Well, you're the expert, I guess. Well, it's not like we've been like deliberately sitting right back and inviting all this pressure. Germany's different. Maybe we tried a bit to be lower, and they're going to then do that to you inevitably when they have so much of the ball. But what does that look like, this idea that we kind of go for it? Does that mean we weren't going for it the other night, or...?
It's impossible. It's a nice thing for all us fans to say, I hope we go for it. I don't think the players go out there and think we're going to sit in the 18-yard line and just invite pressure. When you're coming up against the quality that we're coming up against in this tournament, you're going to give up the majority of the ball. It's just the way it is. Yeah. And that automatically just pins you back.
Yeah.
But I guess what I like to see when we're saying go for it is what we saw, how we got the goal the other night.
Yeah.
You know, we defend our box well, but you're promoting six bodies forward on the counter-attack, and that's just where we are as a nation just now. We've not got, you know, real top quality class at the top end.
We don't have superstars.
Well, we don't have superstars.
We've got good players, but not superstars.
Yeah, and when you see the determination, the attitude for the players to get from one box to the other, that, in my opinion, is going for it. And that's, I think, our best opportunity to get a goal.
Yeah.
Gordon Deal, how do you see it in terms of this? You know, we all do it. We fall into this trap of thinking it's like a switch, or thinking you've only got two options and teams are either going for it or they're not. I'm assuming it's a bit more nuanced than that.
I think you've got to realise the quality you're playing against. If you leave yourself too open, this game could be away from you. You know, you see the other night, the Swiss had some real good chances and their top quality side. I don't think it's in Steve Clark's makeup to just decide, right, all out attack. People are talking, oh, get two forwards up, get James Forrest on the right hand side. I don't think that'll be in the makeup of Steve Clark. I think he'll be very much, listen, we'll just do it in segments, we'll keep ourselves in the game, let's work into the game. I totally agree with Mark, on the front foot, put pressure on them, and when we get the ball, we've got to use it a lot better.
This is not a massive sample, Mark. I'm not trying to make a huge point here, but the games between Scotland, Switzerland and Hungary, so, you know, us against Switzerland, Switzerland against Hungary, they've been kind of roughly 50% possession each, you know, in both of those games. The outliers are when Hungary play Germany and only get 30% possession. I'd imagine ours was around that, perhaps even lower.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
Maybe those three teams are quite evenly matched in terms of how much they would expect to have the ball.
And it's what you do with that. You know, Hungary 30% possession against Germany, but we all said, looking at that game, Hungary looked dangerous and they looked like they've got good players at the top end of the pitch. So equally for us, if we've got a smaller share of possession, it's about what we do with it and how useful it is. I go back to the Germany game. I thought we played too many negative passes, particularly in the first half. A lot of backwards passes that ended up back at Angus Gunn, who ends up slashing at it. And then when you look at the goal we conceded the other night, you know, it's Anthony Ralston. It was a negative pass again. I would like to see us take a lot of that out the game. And I thought we did. We got away from it when Billy Gilmore started dictating play.
Who are the guys, Jock, that you think can be the main men tomorrow? The answer to that question was always John McGinn, and then it feels like he's had a bit of a quieter tournament. But
I would say any of the midfield has got to be like holding it and going forward.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off of defence. If they're going forward, then, you know.
I suppose Scott McTominay was so important the other night, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How big is he for us?
I think he's always important. The last two or three games, he's been up there, and he just needs to get service. And if he goes midfield to forward, get some service, anything can happen.
Thing is, Mark, it's now not anywhere close to like coincidence or accident or, you know, a rarity the way that Scott McTominay's arriving in the box, because he's actually done it for Manchester United as well this season. He was one of their top goal scorers this season, doing a very similar thing. It's almost like it started at Scotland and made its way the other way around, you know, from what you would usually expect. So you'd imagine that's a real weapon that Scotland will be hoping to use.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, that's what makes you a top midfielder, you know, arriving in the box at the right time. It's not just by chance, you know, it's by design. He understands where the ball is and where he has to be in relation to the ball, and it's no coincidence that it falls at his feet time and time again for club and now country. And you know, he is our main player. You know, he is, we said with no real superstars, McTominay is maybe as close to Andy Robertson and McGinn, but McTominay is right up there. And I thought he dragged us the other night. His attitude, his desire, his work rate, his quality in possession, his defending his box was everything that we need from every one of our players.
Jock, all the best.
He plays with his heart as well.
Yeah,
he does indeed.
Which
Jock.
Is McGinn and Robertson do the same.
Yeah,
really just like go for it.
Brilliant. Yeah. We're almost out of time. It was great to hear from you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Me, you Jock. Take care. Enjoy all the rest of your trip.
Cheers.
I will get you in a kilt and tartan braces tartan Armani t-shirt if it's the last thing I do on this trip. Gordon DL. No, you keep that t-shirt.
You keep it. Don't worry about it.
Don't you worry. Right, I've got something extra special for you this afternoon, because it's your chance to win cash simply by guessing the results of the next three games at Euro 2024 on our pundit predictor. John and Airdrie called up last night. He's already out of the running because France and the Netherlands drew 0-0. What it does mean is we're now playing for our biggest ever prize on the pundit predictor. It's £500, and all you need to do is predict the outcome of three games. I think that is a very, very good opportunity for you. To win the money, you need to predict the outcome of Turkey-Portugal, Belgium-Romania, they're both today, and then Switzerland-Germany tomorrow. We can pit you up against Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale for a bit of fun, but for the cash, it's you against the scoreboard. So call now for your chance to win £500 with Call Robert. It's 0141 951 1025. Have your predictions ready. The lines close at the end of this break.
0141 951 1025, live from Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are still here. Still time for you to call. Still time for us to squeeze in more reaction as well. Georgia and Czech Republic are drawing, which suits Scotland up to a point. There's still a lot needs to happen, but it's sort of leaning towards the favourites in some of the other games, if you like. So if this was to stay a draw, I believe that a certain other combination of results in the next couple of days, all involving the favourites though, would see 2 points enough to get you through in third place technically. I mean, Mark, it just seems like if there's a back door, we'll take it.
Yeah,
but let's just try and win the game tomorrow. And
oh, without doubt, I don't think we can go in thinking
take care
we'll
of
try
that.
And get a point and scrape through. Wouldn't it be nice if we just get an early goal and then add to it, and we can actually enjoy the game of football rather than be white knuckled about
it? I mean, Gordon, it's along the lines of, and Gabriel has passed this on to me, if this stays a draw, which it looks like it will, if Italy beat Croatia, Spain beat Albania, Portugal beat Georgia, so all sort of likely, and Turkey beat Czech Republic, that's where your 2 points then becomes enough.
It's a lot of ifs.
I know that's too much detail for you.
Yeah, it certainly is. I'm with Mark. Even, you know, then you're looking at a point tomorrow night. I think we've got to concentrate. We've got a great opportunity here tomorrow night. I think we've concentrated on getting 3 points, and then we don't need to worry about all that sort of stuff.
Okay, let's, before we go any further, let's try and lay the foundations for giving some cash away, because we're going to play our pundit predictor, all thanks to Call Robert. We want you to predict the results of the next three games. That's all it is, three games, and you win £500, because the money rolls over. John and Airdrie couldn't manage it last night. We're up to 500, and hopefully you can. The three games we're predicting today are Turkey-Portugal, which is kicking off soon, Belgium-Romania tonight, and Switzerland-Germany tomorrow, same time as Scotland, incidentally. So on the line at the moment, the calls have been flooding in, a very popular competition. We've got Lewis from Neilston. How's it going, Lewis?
Brilliant, how are you guys, alright?
Not bad at all, Lewis. Do you fancy yourself as a bit of a tipster?
Well, we'll soon find out, won't we?
We will find out, and the beauty of this is it's just three games. That's, although it's making me think, you know, we're trying to predict the outcome of those four games tomorrow and hope that it all suits Scotland, yet we can barely get anyone on the predictor to get all three right. But here's the deal, Lewis: Turkey against Portugal, Belgium, Romania and Switzerland, Germany. So let's go through them. Turkey v Portugal, is it Turkey win, Portugal win or draw?
I'm going for Portugal.
Okay, Belgium win, Romania win or draw?
And Belgium for that.
Switzerland win, Germany win or draw?
And I'm going for all the favourites, Germany to win.
Germany win. Well, listen, I'm sure you were going to enjoy the football anyway, Lewis, but now you can sit back, keep an extra close eye on those three games, and if they all come in for you, it is £500 thanks to Carl Robert. Happy with that?
Brilliant, thank you so much, guys.
Good man, Lewis, you take care. Incidentally, just out of curiosity, this is for bragging rights, you can't win the cash. I'm trying to arrange it that see if this rolls over all the way to the end of the group stages, you two get to play for the money.
That'd be good.
I don't think the bosses are too happy about it, but we'll see what we can do. Who was it last night?
Me.
How did you go?
Draw.
Did you actually? Yeah. France, Netherlands?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Can anyone verify this? Good on you. What 100%. Else did you go?
Draw in the second game.
No way.
And Portugal.
So we've reset it, obviously, because the contestant last night's out anyway. But no, you went Czech Republic.
Yeah, I did, okay.
So your lies have been found out yet again. So over to you, Mark Wilson. You can do it tonight. Turkey, Portugal.
Portugal.
Belgium, Romania.
I'm going to go a draw.
I think you might be onto something. And Switzerland, Germany.
Germany.
Yeah, they've looked good, haven't they?
They have.
They have looked good. So there we go. You don't win anything, but you get the bragging rights. Since you get battered at Beat the Pundit, this might restore a bit of faith.
I was poor. Yeah. I was glad it was the young lad. He's had a good time.
Good lad.
Give him more memories.
Absolutely. Right, we are in the closing stages of this one. Like I say, if you're willing to go down that road, it's the beauty of tournament football. You can bring all your permutations to the table, but it's Georgia 1, Czech Republic 1, which in theory is a good result for Scotland, but a lot needs to happen before then anyway. So 87 gone there. That's actually been alright, hasn't it? Been pretty good.
Good game. Same as every other game we've watched last night. I enjoyed last night's game. It was 0-0, but plenty of action, and this one's been the same. Really end-to-end. I think we got a taste of this right from the off. It was really, really open end-to-end. Georgia went for it right away. And it's been a good 87 minutes so far. Will we get a winner? I'm not so sure.
I've got a sneaky move, Will.
Think we get a winner here?
Yeah. I think this game's been so open. It's one of those games that you wouldn't, if you're sitting at home, you're thinking, I probably wouldn't watch it, but I've really, really enjoyed this. And I just think that sums up the tournament for me. I think the standard of football, the attacking football, everything about it's been excellent.
Enjoying Stuttgart, he managed to settle in now.
Loving Stuttgart.
Get your bearings back again.
I'm loving Stuttgart. I'm loving Germany. I'm going to come back. I'm not a great traveller, but I'm going to come back.
I don't like any country.
I feel like he's finding his feet now, though. Here, he's starting to use Google Maps. Yeah. He's starting to get about. He's ordering Ubers.
Goes and walks. He was in the shopping centre by himself earlier on. Yeah,
we do treat him like he's a very, very simple man, don't we?
Well, he goes from his house in Motherwell to the golf course,
and that's
to Clyde Bank,
and that's it.
And now he's seen the wider
world. You're out of your comfort zone a bit here. Are you growing as a person as a result?
Yeah, I think I'll take great experiences back to Motherwell from Germany.
We had a ropey moment yesterday, though, when we arrived in Stuttgart, didn't we? This was the first time, because we joked about it, obviously, multiple times on the way over here in the lead-up, but yesterday was the first time we were confronted by a hotel receptionist who said that we didn't have single beds.
Oh, my goodness.
And that we're all going to share. I think that was the lowest point for morale on this whole trip.
Yeah, there was a lot of heated voices, a lot of people shouting over each other to try and resolve the situation, because it was really, that was at critical, that was at tipping point. If I had to share a double bed with Gordon Dale...
He didn't make me feel good, let me tell you.
He was quite insulting about that.
His reaction, as much as I'm thinking, right, it's not going to happen, I sort of sat back, I was quiet, but his reaction was outrageous.
I was going to get a fight.
You don't think it's nice to be wanted, isn't it?
Exactly. Just say, look,
I probably would have in days gone by, but now, absolutely no. I'm quite happy with that. I'd have taken that as a wee compliment.
You think he was a bit over the board in his objections to sharing a bed with you?
That was disgusting. I said, no way.
I mean, that sounds quite offensive.
I hope you didn't take that the wrong way, but I'm just not into sharing a bed with you.
It did eventually resolve
the situation. And even when we went to the rooms, the two twin beds really close together, so we've redesigned our full room.
The room is beautiful
now. We've moved furniture so we can move the beds, get a bit of space.
New windows in, blinds up.
So we're nice and comfortable in Stuttgart.
I'm delighted for you both, I have to say. I am delighted for you. Interestingly, do you remember the other day when we, irresponsibly in my book, asked our wonderful audience to ask us anything on social media? Well, some of the questions were interesting, but others we did manage to answer. You know, who was the better player in their prime, Mark Wilson or Gordon DL? What a question that is. Would Mark Wilson have signed for Rangers?
Easy one.
Where did Gordon DL go when we lost him in Cologne? Plus lots more. Well, I'll tell you what, the video has now gone up at Clyde SSB on Twitter. It's on Facebook and Instagram round about now-ish. The video guy is giving me that sort of vague, like, yeah, I'm working on it. But it's certainly on Twitter, and we'll get it up on the other platforms round about now. So when this show finishes, you can check it out, find out how the guys answered your questions. And I was hoping for a full-time whistle in this one before we went off today. We might four additional minutes to go. I think we'll just about miss it, but it's still Georgia 1, Czech Republic 1, and it kind of looks like it's playing out that way. Mark, I don't necessarily see a winner, but anything can happen, I guess.
No, I don't think so. Daz thinks we might get one, but he's right. It has been
a big shame.
Maybe we'll get a last gas chance, but this'll do us, and maybe this is the turning point. Things are just going our way and going to fall nicely for us tomorrow evening.
I love the sort of contrast from Patrick Sheik's last Euros, because that was the one, of course, sorry to remind you, where he lobbed David Marshall from 45 yards. He scored from 4.5 centimetres today off his chest. Didn't really know what was happening, and it went in, so scores from anywhere, as they say.
It doesn't matter how it goes in. It's all about getting a goal.
You would take one off Anthony Ralston's chest from 4 centimetres tomorrow,
wouldn't you? Chest tomorrow gone.
We never seem to get goals like that, do we? We always have to work at it really hard. I know we get the deflection, but it was a well-worked goal. Let's hope for just an easy one tomorrow.
We'll take it. We will take it, hopefully, whatever way it comes. I think that is us almost out of time on a Saturday afternoon. So let me start by thanking Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Saturday night in Stuttgart. What could go wrong?
Oh, lots. We're not quite going to that fan zone, I tell you that.
Much is it again for three beers?
30 euro.
Quiet night, is it?
Balaclava.
Big day tomorrow.
You got to gear yourself up.
But it is your last Saturday night in Germany.
No.
We're up the nightclub in Stuttgart. Are we not?
The nightclub in Stuttgart?
No, we'll be tucked up for 10 p.m.
I'm just going to read a paper and stay now.
I wondered why I saw you going with a German newspaper under your arm earlier. But anyway, 01419511025, write it down, give us a call tomorrow, because tomorrow is showtime. It is about as big as it gets. Scotland taking on Hungary here in Stuttgart for the chance to get through to the knockout stages of Euro 2024. It is massive and we can't do it without you. So make sure you join us. We'll get some live reaction here from outside the stadium. We'll take your calls as well. We are on 7 p.m. UK time, 8 p.m. Germany time. I know that's a bit strange, so we're not usually on a Sunday night, so make sure you don't miss out. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we will meet you here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.